Beyond the Scope of Normal on UPRN Talk Radio FM 107.7 in New Orleans and FM 105.3 in Mississippi.
If it's unexplainable, we're talking about it.
Whether you're a believer or a skeptic, we cover everything where the unknown becomes the known. And now, here are your hosts, Jenny Nicasio and Tom Calway.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Chasing Prophecy on FM 107.7 in New Orleans and 105.3 in Henderson Point, Mississippi, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. I'm Jenny Nicasio, along with my fabulous co-host, Tom Calway.
Hello, everyone.
It's good to see you tonight.
Very good to see you. I love the hat, you know, your yes. Hat game. Every week you have something on.
I have to wear my hat so I can put on my totally dysfunctional alter ego.
You have to have those times, you know. Well, being yeah. Regular is, you know, it's not for everybody.
We talked about it before about my hat. It's like Frosty the Snowman's hat, you know. It's a magical hat. I never know who I'm going to get tonight, so it's
well. Hey, that's okay. That's okay. Channel it. Bring it in. Let's we got an hour of very good,
absolutely
fun topic.
Hi, everyone. You know? We're everywhere, all over the network. We're, like I said, we're on FM 107.7, 105.3 in Mississippi and New Orleans. And we are broadcasting on multiple platforms, including Roku. And so make sure you're in the chat. Hello, hello. If you're in the chat, we'd love to see you. Love to hear about you today. So
Cindy,
make sure
hello, Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Like I said, if you have the link, please, please share it. I want to talk about it and so we can share. And I heard a little, did we lose somebody? I heard a little big, what was that?
Just hopped out and hopped back in, our guest.
Oh, okay. She's hopping in. How did that happen? Oh, there must be somebody in the Before we introduce our fabulous guest tonight, Tom, you want to talk about something that you've seen on?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know how we'd like to bring up to everyone's attention, maybe people who haven't seen it, maybe people who are just casual, you know, but we know you guys, and we want to bring the newest news because we don't always have news in this certain genre, the paranormal, you know, psychic, prophecy genre that we do occupy. But there's always a little bit to both Jenny and I, a little, you know, part of our subconscious, if you will, part of our, you know, who we are. And when misinformation gets spread out to everybody as if we're dumb and stupid, I think that really, you know, ticks us off. And we want to be on the forefront of that. You know, we want to make sure that people have a chance to hear from everybody, not just what a narrative could be. And we found a video that was pretty interesting in Maui. And, so if you haven't heard, there's been Maui wildfires and it's killed a bunch of people, destroyed thousands of homes last August. And a video has surfaced, which is kind of interesting because it happened in August. And what's that, 10 months or so now that later that this video has finally gotten out. And Jenny, you know how I talked about it. It's fact. There's a net out there when you submit things and when you upload things, it has to go through this net and it's not allowed. We've heard multiple people talk about it. We've heard people talk about it on this show. You know what I mean? That have tried to upload things when we were talking about Miami and the Miami aliens and things like that. When people try to upload things, it won't go to the internet despite connections, despite everything. You know, a little bit of this has happened during the solar eclipse. There is a net out there. It's not, it's not rocket science. It's not make believe. There is a net that will not allow you to post these things. So I bet you this individual was trying to get this up. You know what I mean? In the meantime, but finally now has gotten it up. But how quickly, as this video went up, are people taking to it, discrediting the individual, saying it's something that it's not? So we're going to show this little video here for you. And keep in mind the little backstory about this. This is a Maui wildfire. It looks like a laser beam that shot from space and that is starting a fire. However, everybody is, or not everybody, but the mainstream media is saying, oh, it's just a blown transformer. So I'm going to make this, I'm going to remove us
Did you hit the play button? I don't know.
I can't hit the play button. You have to.
Okay. I just want to know, make sure. Okay. I got to find it. Darn. Okay. Let me rewind it.
Yep. So let's go rewind it and watch this video.
Ooh, one
chip. Did you see that? Just start that over. It's only the first 5 seconds or so.
We're going to have to show this. We're going to have to play this again at the end if we have time.
Absolutely. But go back. Let's just go to about right the start. There you go.
And if you can't see us on the radio, he's showing a video of a like it looks like a laser. And if you go to TikTok, I believe it's under how do you say that name? Pyro. So
I would just search Maui laser.
Maui laser.
Laser fire or something. But go ahead. Now, do you see how that came from the sky, right? This guy is in an elevated point of view. This is a overlooking. You hear his ooh, that's when it blew up. They're trying to say it was a transformer that blew up. Well, the last time I checked, the transformer doesn't shoot a single beam into the sky.
Yeah.
It's not a transformer. And I'm just so happy we have this video. And this is corroborated. There's video, there's footage of, and we can go ahead and take that. We'll put that up again later. But there's footage, right? There's footage of the news article or the newscast having this fire on. And you can use your eyes, people. Just use your eyes. See that, you know, this corner is this corner and this screen. You know what I mean? Make the virtual world yourself. So this is a corroborated video. This actually happened. This was a fire. Only you're seeing the aftermath, right? You're only seeing after it's already burning. This individual was taking a landscape picture and just it looked like happened to be at the right place at the right time with this single beam of light coming from the top left corner to the almost the bottom right. So, yeah, Nicole, it could be a UFO laser. Who knows? You know, it could be. More love for Jenny Saddam. from Nicole. And but no, I just wanted to show that that's the part of this stuff that we have a voice, we have a platform, and we actually want to make sure that everybody can see things and get a different point of view. Because you know what? If you were to leave it up to mainstream media, you're not gonna get that. So I just wanted to hop on a little bit and talk about that as a you know, that about that basically.
Cool, Sebastian. I see that. A Boeing jet sometimes to carry out missions. Yeah, it could be something like that. But
Who knows? I mean, we're all test subjects on this surface world.
Okay. Well, let's get to our guest. Want to do the introductions or do you want me to do them, darling?
I can do it.
Okay, great.
So we have a wonderful guest for you. She's a laser expert. No, I'm kidding. But sorry, Dominique, but is a wonderful person. I mean, I met her and been going back and forth with her to get her on the show, and just a very sweet, kind individual. But Dominique is a medium, a psychic, and a death worker. Dominique has been connecting her clients of this world to loved ones on the other side most of her life. With clients all over the world, she's helped countless people step through their grief as they found their path to healing. She advocates getting comfortable being uncomfortable. I like that. Talking all things death, dying, and grief. So we welcome in Dominique. Sorry, I did that.
There we go.
So first of all, what kind of laser? No, I'm kidding. But
very cool technology. So I promise, guys, laser coming for me. I hurt myself so fast.
Yeah. No, but but no, it's wonderful what you do. You know, I am so happy that I got somebody like you on here, because it is an important part that we don't want to think about. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it for myself. I don't want to think about it for my loved ones. I don't want to think about it for my friends. You know what I mean? It's something that we need to maybe mature. I don't know if that's the best word, but as a group, as a, you know, conscious on this planet, you know, that it is coming. There is a limit. You know what I mean? And I think what you're doing is really wonderful. So that was my little introduction for you, but I'll let you speak for yourself. Go ahead. Why don't you tell us the audience about you?
You guys are great. Yeah, you totally just explained everything we do. We connect with people on the other side, with those that are living. And you're right. Nobody wants to talk about death. And it's the one thing none of us are going to escape. We're all going to die. Our loved ones are all going to die. But for some reason, especially in this part of the world, nobody wants to talk about death. It makes us very uncomfortable. So we have to get comfortable being uncomfortable in it to start breaking that taboo and start breaking those cycles. I think it's really, really important.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. We have some growing up to do as a species, right?
So I mean, the human existence is such a small bleep of like the world existing as a whole anyways. Like, we're still learning how to walk, so it's okay.
Yeah. And hello back to you, Brittany. But yeah, you know, we relatively occupied this rock for not long. And I will say, technology allows us to do that too.
I told you I repel technology. It wasn't a joke. Like, I promise every time I do stuff like this, this is what happens.
We can hear you good. You're good so far. So let's hello Mark to you too as well. Let's dive into some of the questions, shall we? And listeners, commenters, streamers, if you have any questions for Dominique about psychic medium, soul engineering, being a death doula, please. Or as she's talking, you have a question you might want to, or lasers. But, you know, if you have any question that you want, you know, please feel free to chime in. But I want to start with something, you know, from doing research on you and looking and learning about what you do and your skill set. I saw a quote on your website. Mm-hmm. And the quote was, remember, we are all just walking each other's home. Remember, we are all just walking each other home. What sticks out to you about that quote? And why did you choose to put that one on your website?
There's some incredible like spiritual teachers over time. And one was named Ram Dass. And I absolutely adore his teaching. And this quote, the first time I heard about it years ago, it just hit something. And a lot of people have a different like perspective on what he meant. And normally they lead towards, we all are trying to come back home into ourselves and to really grow into our soul's purpose and kind of come home. But I like it on a bigger scale. I believe it doesn't matter if we walk with somebody for 5 minutes, 5 years, 5 decades, we're all part of each other's life story, right? And we want to make it a good one. So we have to make sure every time we have a conversation, we need to be mindful. Every time we hold the door for some stranger at a store, like these things matter. And I believe we don't know what anybody else is going through. We think we know what people are going through, but really we have no idea. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can really be conscious and really put intention behind everything we do, because we are all just walking each other home through this life. And every moment is sacred space. And we have to consider that. And sometimes it's hard, like for spiritual beings having a physical journey, and the human experience is a hot mess. It really is. But I really think if we really try to be present as we walk through this life, we don't know how we're going to impact others. So as we walk each other home, try to be kind. There's enough monsters in the world. We need to really be kind to one another, give each other grace. And in my experience, we all walk each other home until we are not able to, and spirit comes from the other side and walks them the rest of the way home. Yeah. So I just really think it's important. So I try to share the message every chance I get.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that really is. That's a great way to put it.
It's just part of life. You know, we never know what people are going through, and just got to give each other grace and just keep going. And you never know whose life you save or how you altered somebody's path every day. Cause just by doing little things.
Before we get into your mediumship, psychic and death work, what is soul engineering? I didn't understand that.
That's okay. It's because nobody else uses it. Years ago, just weird words that popped in my head years ago. a long time ago, we did like a lot of group work with like workshops, and we did mentoring with people that wanted to grow in this type of work. And I could never really, I never liked to fit inside boxes. You know, I didn't consider myself a coach or a teacher. And
It just wasn't it. And so I sat with spirit for weeks and weeks, and finally it just kind of fell in my lap. And my job is to help people build their soul bridge. Start with the footers, learning how to ground yourself and trying to learn how to really understand what your soul's purpose is and go from the ground up. And anytime I get to spend with you, I consider it an absolute honor, and I'm humbled by it every day. But we work on taking your soul, and we work on building the footers and the framework to build your life and your soul's bridge from this side to the next, finding grief and going through it and finding validation and finding healing. So soul engineering was kind of like the umbrella school kind of that we do, mediumship and death work and all the things. It's all about growing our soul. And, you know, it's kind of what
it's a nice term. I like it.
It is a nice term. I like the way you put it. With that engineering, do you call it that because you don't feel you found the correct word yet? Or maybe our vocabulary doesn't have that word.
I think it was great because engineering, if you look up the definition, it's about building everything up, right? We're creating something and building. And so our whole purpose is to take our soul and build and evolve, right? Like that's kind of our job while we're having this human experience. And so I thought adding our soul work and our engineering of physically building it up and mentally and psychologically building our soul up and the lessons we learn, I thought they went together very well. So
they do.
It just popped up one day and I was like, got it, spirit. I hear you. And been running with it ever since.
Absolutely. You've already proven that in maybe the, you know, at least the 15 minutes that we've been on here and the time beforehand, where, you know, the first two questions, you've already proven to a point because, you know, we're here to walk each other home. And then it's so clear that you have this energy with death and making people feel good and in grief and things like that. You know, it's definitely a skill that you have. I mean, you proved it to, you know, Jenny before air and,
I appreciate it. I don't take a moment of it for granted, not a single minute. I am humbled every day by this job. And I wouldn't know it if I couldn't do this anymore. I don't know what I'd do. I just don't know what I would do.
Well, it's nice that people found a calling and like their calling. There's a lot of people who are good at something and they don't love doing it. They just have to do it, you know, for whatever reason. But I'm really happy that you found that. So let's get into this definition of a death doula. I've heard about that a little bit more. There was one show on Netflix called The Future Of, and it talked about the future of us after we pass on. And that was my first introduction to a death doula. I mean, the actual segment was about, you know, our likenesses, especially with this digital world and what could happen to you, you know, your pictures and things like that after you go. But that was the first time I was brought into knowledge of what a death doula was. So for anyone who's, you know, out there who doesn't know, what is that and what are some responsibilities?
So a death doula, it's probably one of the oldest occupations since the beginning of time, but it's starting to definitely become, there's a wave that's moving the last few years. And I think they're calling it like a death positivity thing. I don't know, but it's how everybody's heard of a birth doula. They help bring people into this world. Mm-hmm. A death doula, yes. We're walking them right back out the same door. So we're helping people transition from this life to the next. We help them spiritually. We have to have our hospice nurses. They handle the medical part. I want no part of that at all. They do all the medical things, but we help them spiritually, physically. We advocate for our individuals who are transitioning, but we're also there as a support team for the family members and caregivers. So we really try to find that balance and help everyone process. And we help them make plans. And I have clients that meet me years before they pass and make a complete plan and know what they want. And other ones, we walk through their options because they don't know. They don't even know where to begin. So I really, really enjoy getting to do this work. I think it's the most sacred work possible.
Yeah, I wish they would have had that when my mom had passed. I would have liked that. I mean, I see stuff, people on like TikTok, they call themselves that. And it's, death is such a scary thing for a lot of people. I mean, I try not to think about it, but I know it's there. And I, my one friend, she's so scared to die. And that's what we need more of.
It's very normal. It's a very normal thing to be scared of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so nice what you do.
And it is. And different states have so many different options. Like, people don't realize, like, they assume you can go to a hospital to die, or you can, like, go to retirement home and die. And I'm like, no, the options are endless. Like, what do you want? And when you really sit down with people and you have this conversation, they're like, oh, I can do that. I'm like, yes, yes, you can. You want to go outside and sit in your garden? Let's go. I'm with you. Like, what do you want?
Oh, wow.
It's so much fun. And even after they pass over, we tend to their bodies. We do whatever that they wanted done. But it's not just being buried and cremated either. There's endless options and people just don't know. So I love this part of my job.
You live the life on earth. I'm gonna die how I want to, damn it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's this is your final stage. Like, set your stage. What do you want? And a lot of the times the living, the caregivers, the family, they feel like the one dying feels obligated to make sure they're happy. And I'm like, oh no, we're not doing that. That's not, but what do you want?
That sounds like something I would do.
We do a lot of advocating for them too. We run interference a lot. That's great. I don't mind.
So that's, you're such a special person for doing something like that.
Yes.
Thanks. I enjoy it.
Looks like we got a question from Nicole. She keeps seeing doors in her mind. Can you explain what the significance of that would be, if you have any knowledge of it?
Normally, when people see doors, it's either one, they are afraid of what that they are already feeling. Like, they have a really strong intuition, and there's like something's right there, and they know they're being called towards it to kind of open up to it. And one, that they're afraid to open it up. It could be a fear. Like, I don't want to open that door, because this kind of spiritual work, once you fling those doors open, they're very hard to close. So I always kind of like, be careful, be mindful, learn some basic grounding and really explore what you want to learn. They would open and close. So what's the big decision you're trying to make is probably the better question. What big life change or situation are you trying to decide between? That's normally another one.
Could it signify maybe flip-flopping, or like I'm 50-50 or something like that?
It's normally like people that read tarot, which I've done for years, like a tower will come up, or certain wands will come up, and I'm like, oh, well, you got to figure out, are you coming or going? I'm like, what are you doing? What do you want? Normally when the doors open and close, you're afraid to make a choice because you don't want to hurt other people or let people down. So you don't make any choice. And then everybody gets upset. So there's a good chance that's happening.
Yeah. Nicole is, you know, I know Nicole personally. She's actually also a psychic medium, but on the younger side, like growing into it more.
We
and,
always
and more.
Growing.
Yeah.
We're always students in this. Always.
So, yeah.
Love that.
Oh, and Brittany here as well.
Long one.
I'm a sensitive and have many abilities. One of them is when my relatives are dying, I was able to feel death and know what day and time they passed. I've been a sensitive since I was around 7 years old, and I want to help people who lost their loved ones. Okay, so maybe you can give a little insight on how to get started.
Yeah, so there are tons of incredible schools you can go to online if you want to be certified. I'm a big fan of Death Wives because it gives you an opportunity to really focus on the skill set you want to work with. As like a grief counselor would be great. That's, people need people to talk to. They really do. So grief counseling is really an awesome thing to step into. There's the Universal Death Movement, I think is the name of the website. You can check them out. They're pretty great. Like I said, normally if you really, really want to work on getting certified, I would check out Death Wives. They're a really credible group of people, and they're all over the world. So
I just put Universal Death Movement and Death Wives into the comments for anyone who wants to, you know, check out this later, and they can go ahead and check them out or Google them and see that. But,
there's great stuff out there.
Absolutely. So let's talk about your mediumship and psychic abilities.
Okay.
What, let me ask you a toughie this time. What type of readings do you find the hardest? When you're sitting either face-to-face over a call with somebody, what type of readings do you find the hardest?
As far as psychic or medium, neither one are the hardest.
Well, psychic or medium. No, but I mean like to tell the other person.
Children, hands down, yeah.
Oh, God,
they're the
I
worst.
Imagine.
They're the worst. My soul aches for the families I'm looking at when I'm having to connect them with a child that's passed over. And It's terrible. It's absolutely horrible. We've done a lot of missing people's cases with law enforcement. We've done a lot of unsolved deaths. And it's always hardest when they're young. That's always hardest when they're young. It's absolutely terrifying. But it's always the toughest. I always need like a day of like just a buffer to get away from people when I have to work really closely with it.
You can bring it on yourself too.
It's heartbreaking. It really is. But children are hands down the worst. I mean, whenever we can find closure, if like a child is missing and regardless of how, having that closure is game changing. It really is. And it may not be the answer that the family wants, but sometimes just knowing really begins that first step into processing.
Yeah, that sounds awful. And I can imagine
it's
because
absolutely the worst.
You have the answer. They want the answer, but you don't know if you want to, you know what I mean? Like you give them the answer, but it's not what they want to hear. And that caused a whole, you know, range of emotions so as well.
It's so sad. As far as the question that popped up, it's not that necessarily the girl is not stuck there. It's probably residual energy. Normally when an individual passes away very traumatically, like a horrific car accident, they're not stuck, but that energy itself is there. It's like on loop. It's kind of like a record going around and around. So a lot of haunted places that don't have intelligent spirits still there that can communicate, but like they'll see the same person walking by over and over, but they're
not communicating. That's residual energy. Yeah.
It's residual energy. Yeah.
Is it true that God or the creator, like, I'm not sure what, I mean, I'm a Christian, so I would say.
Oh, I believe in God. We're
Jesus would not let a child be in limbo. They would not let a child be like left here. They would make sure that they go over to the next, to the light or.
Out of all the things that I have, I've connected with a lot of people in my life, and very rarely are people truly stuck. Very rarely. In the grand scheme of things, they're rarely stuck. And religion as a whole, like I believe in God. I don't follow religion. I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think God's such so much bigger, like the creator is so much bigger than three little words. And people tend to have a certain image in their head when you say God. So I'm like, you know, but it's rarely children that are stuck. I very rarely see children that are stuck. And people with special needs are very rarely stuck because their soul is so pure and genuine. They're not clouded and bogged down.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
That's mainly energy. They just keep going.
Wonderful.
And normally people that are stuck are ones that are afraid to die and they don't want what's on the other side. Those are the ones that are normally stuck.
The ones that don't, yeah.
The ones that aren't ready to face themselves. Those are normally the ones that drag their feet to cross over.
I've heard that too. And I've heard it's almost like there's a bottleneck or so. Like there's so many people that don't now that don't want to go into the light. You know, it's getting we're getting full. That type
it's of a process.
Thing. Lack of a better word. You know, you would know better than I would. But, you know, that I've heard that from other people on the show and things like that. You talked about, you know, missing purses and cases and things like working with the police. Give me your most interesting story from, you know, doing a law enforcement case. I always like this.
Hands down, my favorite, like solved. I always talk about him all the time. They're great. And just so people know, I don't talk about my client stories unless they've actually signed a written form telling me I can. This is very sacred work. So unless they physically signed a piece of paper saying I can talk about it, I don't talk about it. But this is hands down our favorite. Everybody loves him. But I read for a woman a few years ago who eventually became like one of my favorite humans in the whole world. And her father was killed by a serial killer in the 80s. And everybody assumed they knew who the serial killer was and because of where he died at and the whole thing. His body was missing for a while. When they eventually found him and they said, oh, that matches the MO to the serial killer. I read for her, gosh, I don't know, 8-10 years ago. And I sat down and I was going over everything he was showing me and in the car and the whole horrible thing and where his body was found by this water. And then he kept showing me a toolbox in the back of his car. And she was like, that doesn't make any sense. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just showing you what he tells me. And so later on, a few months later, she got me a session with her mother who was, you know, super excited to connect with her husband and all these things. And again, the toolbox, she's like, it all makes sense, but the toolbox makes no sense. So this went on for a few months, and every couple months they'd come back and the toolbox got bigger and bigger and it was vibrating. And then one day she called me and she was like, you've got to sit down. And I was like, okay, what's going on? Mm-hmm. She said her sister was listening to a true crime podcast, actually. And they were talking about the serial killer and how there was a 2-year span in the lower part of the United States where the serial killer actually had another serial killer with him that rode around for 2 years and they would, you know, have victims spread out around each other. And she's like, you're not going to believe it. I was like, okay, well, what is it? She said, his name is Tool, like T-O-O-L-E. Toolbox. And as minute she told me Tool, he popped right up. The toolbox just evaporated. And that man has never come back to me again. And that was years ago. And I read for her all the time, or I talk to her regularly. And I'm like, holy shit, that just happened. So later on, when we went back, we realized the man that we thought was not it, and everything that lined up, the toolbox and the way he was bludgeoned to death, all of it was absolutely this other man, because that was the only way it came about. So I thought that was just wild to me. Hands down the wildest thing, because it was my first big unsolved crime. You know, it was really exciting. We've had a little girl that went missing a few years ago she was 3 at the time, and her stepfather put her inside of a suitcase, unfortunately, after he murdered her and dunked her in a pond locally. And we were like, you guys, this is where she's at. This is where she's at. This is where she's at. And they found her a few days later, but it's just unbelievable. It's wild to me what humans will do. Death does not scare me. The human species scares me.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Hold on. Oh, you're right.
Absolutely.
Looks like we got a question from Nicole. How can we set better boundaries, especially just before we go to sleep at night?
That's a good question.
That's a great question. So two things. We do something called Gratitude Challenge every 4 months on our social media thing. And our favorite one that we always do is called our Gratitude Rock. If you've ever like read The Secret or anything like that, they talk about holding this rock and finding things to be grateful for. And every time something good happens, you hold the rock and fuse it in there. And that way, when you're stressed out and freaking out or having a hard time, you can hold it and really soak up that energy. So having an object, whether it's a rock or a crystal or whatever, make that like your grounding thing, your item, you know, your sacred piece. Try holding that and just trying to let it all flow out before you go to sleep. Journaling is another really big one. I don't journal on the regular, but I will sometimes journal if I'm having a really hard time before bed and write out exactly, these are my intentions, this is what I need. And sometimes that helps, but really finding a way to ground yourself before you go to sleep is so important. It really is, really, really is. And if you're sensitive, don't go like looking into mirrors before bed. Don't go staring at candles before bed. It opens you up. So just kind of
looking at mirrors. I didn't know that.
If you're sensitive, if you're a sensitive person, mirror gazing is one of the oldest forms of scrying. So if it's dark and we're just staring into a mirror and we kind of get in our own heads, it will tend to like make things come into you easier. So things that you could truly ground yourself, like salt baths and sticking your feet literally in the dirt or running water, great ways to ground yourself.
Wow, interesting. I didn't know that.
Weird things we pick up in this life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
and everybody's different. Find what works for you. Just because it works for me doesn't mean it's going to work for you. But
absolutely. So we're going to pause right now, Dominique. We have to get a commercial break in. So we'll take a little 3-minute break and then we'll go ahead and get back to everybody. So this is... this is Chasing Prophecy, and here is our wonderful ad coming up.
Samantha survives a tragic accident thanks to Lucian, an enigmatic being. Her newfound abilities catch the attention of a secretive government agency. Drawn to Lucian despite the danger, Samantha is unaware of his true identity. She teams up with Lucian's brothers in a daring mission to rescue him. Accused unfairly, Lucian seeks refuge on his distant homeworld. Can Samantha prove Lucian's innocence and save their forbidden love? Available now. Get your copy on Amazon and BNN.
Over the centuries, occurrences from the enigmatic realm have become less, well, enigmatic. So if conversations about the supernatural myths and legends, mind-bending conspiracies, and haunting stories of ghosts are things you take seriously, we have the podcast that you can call home. Chasing Prophecy. Just because something is unexplained doesn't make it any less real. We're more than just a podcast. We're a community for those who dare to look beyond the scope of normal. For those who are aware of the abstract and interact with a show that speaks to them. Broadcasting from Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, the show stands out as the city's premier paranormal radio program, airing every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Come and hang with host Jenny Nicasio and Tom Coway on Chasing Prophecy.
Meet Daniel Knight, a psychologist with an extraordinary gift to absorb and heal the deepest wounds of the mind. In the heart of a chilling investigation, every secret unraveled binds him closer to darkness. But as he delves into the psyche of a killer, his own demons emerge. Caught in a battle within and against an evil that seeks to exploit his powers, where the line between savior and victim blurs, dare to heal the wounds of the mind. Healer, read it today.
Welcome to the extraordinary world of the Chasing Prophecy radio show, where we delve into the mysteries of the universe and the depths of the human mind. Our listeners are a unique blend of curious minds and adventurous spirits, always eager to learn, explore, and discover. They're not just listeners, they're a community. And what better way to reach this vibrant, engaged audience than by advertising with us? When you advertise on Chasing Prophecy, you're not just buying airtime. You're becoming a part of a conversation, a part of our family. We offer a variety of advertising packages tailored to fit your needs and budget. And with our dedicated team, we'll ensure your message resonates with our listeners. So why wait? Grab this opportunity to amplify your brand with Chasing Prophecy Radio Show. Let's embark on this journey together. Chasing Prophecy Radio Show, where your brand meets our community. Fill out our advertising form on our website, www.chasingprophecyradio.net, to get started. That's www.chasingprophecyradio.net to get started.
All right, we are back. Lovely commercial. You know, we hate commercials too, so, you know, don't blame us. But all right, let's get back. We were having some wonderful discussion. We were having some wonderful discussion, and let me go ahead and put Brittany, who came in over the commercial. She talks to her spirit guides and loved ones every night. She has mirrors in bedroom and have covered them up, so nothing, and that works perfectly too. Fine, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. If it helps you, then it helps you. Absolutely.
All right, perfect. And then a little shout out to you, Dominique. Gifted guest tonight. Absolutely. Capital gifted gift guest tonight. Thank you for all that you do. I've seen so many people's lives so afraid of death. It limits life. It does. Yeah, I bet you there are those people who do that. We can probably name a whole bunch that are in our lives that do that for sure. So let's get back into this. Say I want to get, you know, guidance from the spirit world. How does one get guidance from the spirit world? How do we go ahead and activate ourselves, basically?
Well, I believe we're all born psychic. Everybody has an intuition. We really have to just open ourselves up to it. Again, we have to be careful and take steps to make sure we know how to ground ourselves. Like a kind of a weird thing that some people don't realize is, as a medium, I can connect to everybody else's loved ones, but I cannot connect with my own. I think it's part of the trade-off, you know? Oh. So I will absolutely help anybody that is like, hey, I feel this. What should I do? Just try being still. Try being present in yourself. And if you have that nudge, a really great way to kind of differentiate if it's you or if it's like your ego trying to make you kind of get a message. Because we all have those moments like, well, is it coming from something else or am I really getting something? If it's something you like, you really, really want to hear, it's probably your ego. It's probably your human self telling you what you want. So try to be willing to check yourself. Now, if you're somebody who already receives messages, a really cool trick that I heard years and years ago from a really popular medium on television is he said, whenever you get these images, write them down, stamp them, and mail them to yourself. And don't open them, but mail them to yourself. So they have a, you know, an actual postal stamp, and you can't lie to yourself about, oh, well, I thought I seen that coming. No, you have proof. And eventually you'll start seeing, before you got this message, how did it come to you? And you'll be able to start kind of finding that window of how it works for you.
Yeah, it's a wonderful way to check yourself too. Some people do this with dream logs. You know, when they wake up, they'll write down their dream logs. Lori Hicks with a great question. Have you ever encountered something evil?
Absolutely. There's absolutely evil in this world and of this world. I don't think it's as clickbaity as what some of the bigger paranormal shows and things want you to believe. It's not like every haunted house you go into is full of demons. It's just not like
that.
No. But there is definitely evil of this world, for sure. And normally the most evil things are never human. It's absolutely terrifying. So you have to be very careful when you go in these places. For sure.
And the deception, be very too. Careful.
Very much so. They often come with women, they often come as children. With men, they will often hear these evil sounds that are actually sound like a woman in distress. Things that make your very base nature react. So you have to be very careful. Deception is very real.
Absolutely. Nicole connected with her father's apparition once and was quite funny. Looks like she has a question as well. Will doing some shadow work help break any blockages?
Shadow work is super important, but do not get caught up in like the trendy thing that's all over TikTok and Instagram and all the social buzzwords right now. Shadow work is
I don't know what
personal.
That is. Can you explain?
What is shadow work? Because I don't
shadow
understand.
Work is going in. It's doing all the hard work that we don't want to do in this lifetime. It's the things that are rooted deep inside of us that we don't want to face. So doing shadow work is going in the things that like trigger you the most in your life. You have to keep peeling back the layers and realizing why do they hurt you? Why are you so angry by this? And really getting in, but it's a very personal, private thing. But absolutely, if you're going to do the shadow work, be prepared for it to like, it's a process. It's almost like you're having to kill off who you thought you were and having to be reborn over and over again. We have to unlearn and relearn all the things that, you know, made us who we are, for sure.
That almost sounds like psychiatry rather than spiritual.
It's like a personal alchemy is the best way to explain it. It's a lot of deep, hard work. And everybody's like, oh, let's do shadow work. And they're all giggly and bubbly. I'm like, pause. You're not doing shadow work.
And you're not.
You're not doing the work. It's going to get really uncomfortable, but it's worth it. It's so worth the work. And it's a constant process. You're never done.
We'll physically look in a mirror, but when it's actually time to do work on ourselves and look in that mirror, we don't like to do that so much.
We don't like to do that.
No, not at all. Yes, exactly, Nicole, showing our inner child work.
Yep.
Let's see, what other thing can we... Oh, here we go. So this is something I believe in. I want to see if you agree with it too. I believe we all chose this life to come to before. Do you support this idea or not?
Absolutely. 1,000%. I was just making fun of myself the other day because I was having an issue and I was literally like, why did you have to make this the obstacle in this life? Like, why did you pick that of all the things? So I definitely believe in it 100%. A lot of people dive into like soul contracts and you can look at like your birth chart and see what's what. And it's really interesting, but I 100% think that we plan this life in advance.
What if you had a horrible life? Why would you want that life?
It's lessons. It's all the lessons. Mm-hmm. It means you're very hard-headed apparently, and that in your former life you're like, okay, I'm gonna do all the lessons.
What about people who have sickness, like cancer and all kind of stuff?
I don't think that's a human affliction, not a soul affliction, because when we die, that's all human stuff. That's not a thing.
So you're saying you chose the life but minus the sickness?
I'm trying to think of the best way to word it. So like you were talking about God earlier, not letting like small children be kind of be stuck in purgatory. Mm-hmm. God gives us free will, right? Like we can kind of pick and choose, but at the same time, humans have been alive for a little while, and what we have created has a ripple effect.
Things what about that cause murder these things, and rape and all that stuff? You think they really choose that life?
I don't. So think about it. If somebody asks for, oh my God, I want to be so much richer, please bring me money. Do you think they get a big fat check sitting on their door the next morning when they wake up? No, they get offered more hours at work or another job or a second shift. So it's all about perspective, and what we ask for is not going to necessarily come to us the way that we want them to. Mm. So the different lessons we have to really go through are really interesting.
It's a journey. And that's where, you know, the soul journey and, you know, that ideology comes from. And that doesn't necessarily disprove a Bible or anything like that. You can have both. You know what I mean? You can absolutely have both, because I do believe there is both.
Absolutely.
And, absolutely. You know, you talk, the more I talk to people like you, yourself, and others, you know, throughout my day, not just on the show, you get a sense of calmness when you think of it in that way. And even, and I'm just going to say this, even if that was not correct, did it do its job here on earth, because it gave you that peace of mind and calmness. The same way, if you believe in the Bible and you do everything according to that, it gives you this peace on earth. You know, we impart consciousness on our reality. You can see that any day, any time. Walk into a room after two people are fighting and tell me you can't tell that they were.
You can
feel it.
Feel the energy.
That's why people walk in a room and be like, what did I miss? Because they know, like, you can feel it.
And we're so wrapped up into us, right? We're so wrapped up into us. But us getting cancer, us unfortunately getting some other crime committed against us, the lesson might not be for us. Lesson, and that's a wild approach to, hey, why did it happen to me, when they have to learn the lesson?
Yeah.
Because we're all one.
I was on a radio show probably last year that you guys would probably love, but they were talking about it, and the host was like, sort of like one big cosmic goo. I'm like, great analogy. I love that. Like, we all just get absorbed back into, like, the oneness. I'm like, absolutely. We're going to go with the cosmic goo. I like it. It's that whole drop in a bucket, right? That's all we are.
You meet people that you vibe with instantly. You know, origin story with Jenny and I. We met, I was a guest of hers, and next thing you know, we're, you know, talking and having a great time, and we just vibe with each other. You know what I mean? It's just you meet people who your soul is connected to, and you know, now there's also opposite ends of that spectrum where you meet somebody and you don't have
common. Like, I should like them, but I don't. Right.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, oftentimes they remind you of yourself. They have key components in them that remind you of yourself.
It's that mirror aspect. Yeah.
Yep.
What do you think of transcendental meditation? Do you think that's a good thing to do every day?
I have a weird opinion about meditation. I think people have put meditation in a box. It's kind of like religion and spirituality. They're like, to meditate, you have to sit like this and do this. Mm-hmm. And my brain doesn't do that. I cannot sit still for any amount of time and just be at one and clear my mind. My brain doesn't work that way. I think it's about, I just can't do it.
It's hard. I started doing it. This is the first week that I've done it. And I tell you what, it's.
How do you feel?
I feel great. I mean, I feel great. I was having some serious back issues lately. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I did. I overdid it. And I go, oh my God, I feel like I'm dying. Oh my God, what's wrong
balance
with me?
Balance will be achieved. Balance will be achieved. You're going to sit down.
I was in so much pain. So I started, and I don't know why I did it outside. I guess more like grounding at the same time. So I don't know if it was something from the earth and the meditation to make me feel better.
Yeah. But she grounds all right. She will hug a tree and.
I lay out in the woods for a reason.
Everything.
I'm a big fan, personally. I'm down with it. I don't do a lot of people in big cities. It's not my thing.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I mean, I swear by it. I would just lay down on the ground, one with the earth. And
I'm fine with that.
It's great.
It is. Great. And And it's finding these moments of intention, like in the morning when I'm making my coffee for those 2 or 3 minutes, I'm like stirring my coffee and like, I'm like letting things flow. And that's my meditative time.
Absolutely.
When I'm like brushing my teeth in the morning, that's 2 or 3 minutes where I'm just, that works for me. So whatever works for you, you should do it 1,000%.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, Nicole, can't sit still for an hour, let alone meditate. I want to go back to Bruce because I want to ask this portion. Sorry about that. I believe that some people that are murderers are sent here by the devil and are a person as we know it, but they're here to manipulate others on earth. And that goes back to our idea of, you know, people are here on earth and there's a battle for your soul. There's good and there's evil. And it's manifesting that way. And some people do let it in. And it gets to that point. What are your thoughts on that?
That's an interesting perspective on it. I'm not saying he's wrong at all, but he could absolutely be right. I think that I have met people that are inherently just, they're just horrible inside. Not as many as, you know, there's bad people. And then there's people that just have a darkness inside. They're very different. They're just be bad people that just do bad things. I don't necessarily think they are sent by the devil. But I have connected with people that you can just feel it. You know what I mean? Like that energy, like, oh, this isn't right. Like, this is very dark and I don't like it. But no, it's a different perspective. I like it. It's a kind of an interesting way to look at it. I'm not against it.
Yeah. I think we've all, you know, ran into those people, whether it's at the mall, you know, grocery store, whatever, you know what I mean? Where you just, you feel something telling you to avoid them or don't get close to them. You know, don't be nice, you know, all of that, but not
trust your instincts. Yes. Above all else, trust your instincts.
Really? So, talk on that one a little bit about your instincts. How should you listen to them?
I am a firm believer that our soul is a whole lot older than the car that we are cruising around in, right? This body is temporary. And I think our soul has absolutely all the knowledge that we possibly need. So if your gut, like you have a visceral feeling like, don't go there, don't do it. Like, just don't. I'm a firm believer in that. I've told my children that their whole lives growing up. I'm also a big believer, if a kid or a dog doesn't like you, I'm probably not going to like you because they feel something that's off. I'm like, nope.
Dogs know.
And I mean, look at huge monumental events like 9/11. How many people came out the following week and was like, well, I was supposed to go to work, but something just wasn't, or I was supposed to take this train or something didn't happen. You know, now they're alive. It's wild.
I don't know if you know this, but Seth MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy, was supposed to be on one of those planes.
See?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See? I believe it.
He talks about it all the time, Jen. You know, look it up. But yeah, he was supposed to be on one of those planes. I don't know if it was a bad feeling. I think if I remember correctly, he said he was hungover and missed a flight.
And but, you know what? That's okay. That's your instinct kicking in for whatever reason. I mean,
it
and
did again, what you couldn't do type of thing.
Yeah. And I don't believe in accidents. Again, there was a dad that has talked about it a lot. And he was like, I was supposed to be at work at 9, but my wife couldn't take donuts to my daughter's classroom. So I had to go into work late to take donuts to my daughter's classroom and the tower fell before he got there. So it's like, I don't believe in accidents. I just don't. There's always
I can't imagine how I would feel if that were me, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how that would be.
Yeah.
I would trying to play it out in my head. I would probably have a lot of guilt to be honest with you.
Grief and anger and questioning and all the things.
I would have an immediate reaction. Like, I was not supposed to be there. What is my meaning of life? And rush things, you know?
And that's a whole other psychological thing. Because then you feel all this pressure. Like, what am I supposed to do? And it's, that whole why me is real.
Yeah. Kaysen, great quote. The we are all one. Water drops in the ocean. We are all water drops, yet we are the ocean. And there are no water drops in the ocean, if that makes sense. That
absolutely makes sense. Does. Yeah, that's why I said a few minutes ago, I'm like, we're all drops in the bucket. We're one big bucket of water. That's what we are.
Yeah. You know, all fog is clouds, but not all clouds are fog.
I love that. I love that. That's great.
Bruce again. They try to lead us even though we don't, or we need own, or I guess we need to own the choices we make. Didn't you ever meet someone that seemed from beyond the, I guess, beyond the grave?
I'm trying to
read. Have you met anyone with a different intention? How about we ask that? Did you meet anyone that you know their intentions weren't something that
don't we everyone all, else is? Like, don't we all? I mean, I definitely think so. Yeah, I pride myself on being able to read people pretty well. But at the end of the day, I'm still a human. And, you know, but it falls back on that trust in your instinct on it. I really have to. But there's absolutely very rarely. That's why we have very small circles. I don't have a big group of people that are my people, because your intentions are very important. And karma is a real thing, a very, very, very real thing. So, trust your instinct, trust your gut. If you're like, they're saying all the right things, but it still doesn't feel right, then that's okay. They can say all the right things over there.
Exactly. Real quick, let's touch on karma before we have to go. So does it seem unfair that, let's say your soul, like you had mentioned, is a very old thing. It's a very old being. It's been here long before the car. So if you have that, and you were maybe not the best soul or had the best car in your old life, maybe you were the person who committed crimes, definitely. You know, how fair is it that maybe you have to play out that karma here?
So I don't know. Okay. So this is how I look at it. When we are having this life experience, we have work to do. I tell everybody, you got to do your work, whatever that work is. When we die, we have to do the work on the other side. We have to really go through all the lessons that we didn't learn or that we did process. And we have to do that on the other side. I think when we transition into our new life, we kind of get like a cleared karma count and we start over again. That's just my opinion, because I've seen people on the other side that they die and 2 months later, they're communicating clear as day. And then I have connected with people that have been gone 50 years and they're still processing and doing the work. They're still trying to figure out and understand the lessons and, you know, all the things that happened. I think it was Tyler Henry that mentioned it. And I loved his analogy so much. He's like, say like heaven or the other side or whatever you want to call it is like in the Florida Keys. Let's just pick a point. Some people, when they die, because they've done their work, they have like a 2-hour car drive. You know what I mean? And they're right there. And other people are taking a paddle boat from like Japan and they're having to paddle boat it because all the work they have to do to get to the other side, like the end point, if that makes sense. So we all have work to do on both sides.
Absolutely. So if we know, you know, say don't kill people and we killed someone, you know, we still know
gotta process
it's wrong to kill people in this life, but what can you explain a little bit what the work is on the other side?
When you get to the other side, you have to face yourself. You have to face your own self, which is hard to do. A sin is a sin is a sin, if you want to look at it from like that point of view, right? Mm-hmm. So when we get to the other side, like I have met people whose family members have done horrific things to them in life. And when they get to the other side, it may take a while, but when they come through, sometimes like from earlier, there's just inherently bad things in some people, but some do the work and they truly can atone for what they did and they can take responsibility. And that gives people on this side the ability to start to heal. Not even if they forgive them, but they acknowledge it and they're able to start healing from it, I guess. So it's really about doing the work here and there. It really, really is. It really is.
Hmm. I never thought of it that way. If your work up there starts to allow them to feel better down here.
Absolutely. How many times have we seen mothers and fathers who didn't do a very good job here on earth? And when they get to the other side, now they have a different perspective of how it truly impacted their families and their loved ones.
Wow.
And they can truly come in and be like, wow, that's on me. It's all on me. And I thought they would never would have said in life. It just shows they're doing their work. Absolutely doing their work.
Wow.
Oh, it's amazing.
What a beautiful thing to say at the end.
Most and if you go on to my social media, we did a reading for a mother twice over the past year. And the difference between her son in the beginning and her son at the end or the second session were like night and day. I didn't even realize it was the same soul I was connecting with because he grew so much. He died a horrific death by his own hand. in the beginning, he was like, we need to find justice. We need to do this, and pointing fingers. Mm-hmm. And 6 months later, he was like, just let it go. Just let it go. And I was like, wow. Like, it brought, I don't cry very often. And that had me like crying to this mother. Like, it was amazing to see the work her son sold it. Absolutely incredible.
That's wonderful.
That's amazing.
So, it's incredible. Mm-hmm.
So Dominique, okay. Let's go ahead and promote yourself. Where can people find you? Where can people get in touch with you?
We're everywhere. We're absolutely everywhere. I try to meet people where they're at. So some people like Facebook, some people like TikTok, some people like Instagram. We're on all those places. You can just go to DominiqueGorman.com. If you go to DominiqueGorman.com, all the links are there. If you want to work with me, I don't have to be with you in person. Most of my clients are virtual. We do everything from like little mini sessions, because it's not about the money for me. I want to help people. You know, we have a list of people that we draw names from every month and give away 3 readings a month, because I want to make sure we connect with people. So if you cannot afford one, you can email us and you get put into the, you know, lotto pick of them or whatever. So it doesn't matter where you're at. We do phone calls, Zoom, whatever.
That's wonderful that you do that for people.
It's not about the money. Nice. You start doing this for the money, you're in the wrong job. Wrong job. 1,000%.
Well, reach out. Don't go nowhere, because I still want to talk to you before we.
I know. I'm super curious about the man behind you. I'm very curious.
Okay, cool. We'll talk about that next week.
He's kind of gruffy, but I don't really think he's gruffy. I think he just wants to act that way, and it's fine.
Okay, this is good. Okay, so you stay. Don't go nowhere. Everybody, thank you for tuning into Chasing Prophecy with Tom and I. And I hope to see you again next week. Have a great week and a great weekend.
Bye, everyone.
Bye bye. Okay, we can't. I'm not going to be able to get out of here. Wait, where is it? End.